This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. The face of farming in America and here in Michigan is changing. More and more often, that farmer raising crops or tending to a dairy herd or raising bees is a woman. As women move from a supporting role to a starring role on Michigan's farms, how is this changing agriculture? Joining me for this conversation is the owner and operator of Cloverland Apiary and Farm on Michigan's Keweenaw Peninsula, Sue Raker. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And we're joined by Wynn Wright. Wynn's a professor in community sustainability and sociology at Michigan State University. Wynn, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Sue, I'm going to put your life story into a movie pitch. An Army vet. Listen to this. An Army vet, Vietnam and Bosnia, worked on ranches in Montana, fought forest fires, worked as a forester, winds up running a 120-acre farm on the Keweenaw, raising bees and selling organic honey, hay, seasonal vegetables, and garlic. I have to say, I would watch that movie to see how this woman wound up as a Michigan farmer in Calumet. So with all you've done in your life, and there's even more than what I've listed, why farming?
I always wanted to be a farmer. I don't know if it's genetic. I'm starting to think it might be with people, but I've wanted to be a farmer since I was 2 years old. And I took my doll collection and traded them down the street to a young man who now is in interior decorating and traded me his barn and farm animals that he'd been given at Christmas, and we both were happy.
Now, you had a really intriguing conversation with your mother, Sue, when you were young. Tell us what happened when you told her you might want to be a farmer.
Oh, my gosh. My mother was not from a farm family. She was an established family down in Niles, one of my favorite places for agriculture in the state, by the way. And I kept saying, year after year, they'd say, now what do you want to do? The school would ask us, parents would ask, and I kept saying, I'm going to be a farmer. Now, my father, who was from a farm family, said, no, you got to think of something else. It's horrible. You have to work too hard. You can't do it. My mother said, well, Susanna, you'd better go to Michigan State. You can marry a farmer. And I said, I don't want to marry one. I want to be one. Because even by my young age, I just, you know, I'd figured out that a lot of the farm wives were busy in the house. And the only time they were needed was when, it was time for a problem to be resolved with fencing or livestock that had gotten out or something like that. And the incredible analysis that's needed, plus picking and choosing every single day and sometimes many times during a day, wasn't there. It wasn't happening. But anyway, I wanted to be a farmer.
And here you are, and you have this starring role on your farm, not a supporting role. Wynn Wright, does Sue's story track with what you hear from other women who are farming in Michigan?
Actually, I think her whole life story, really, we could put it in a larger context and say, I'm sure she's a wonderful, very unique individual, but there are a lot of things that aren't very unique about Sue's story. Girls were put off farming when they were children. They were encouraged to marry farmers, to be the help or the support network, and that rendered them really invisible and closed doors for a lot of women. Some of those doors have been opened in the 70s and 80s. Some of this has to do with the inroads that the feminist movement has made in helping us to rethink what is appropriate women's work. So there are a lot of ways in which her story reflects mainstream structural transformations that have been going on in the last 30 or 40 years.
And do you find that most of the women who are choosing to be farmers in Michigan, like Sue, come from a family of farmers?
Actually, it's hard to answer that question. There's no data. So I'm just going to say my anecdotal experience working in the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources at MSU suggests that, no, that's not the case. Perhaps it might be for women of a certain generation, but the young students coming to agriculture today, the young women, I should say, are coming being motivated by a different set of values. They usually come to agriculture and production through an environmental consciousness.
Yeah.
So they may not have had any, let's say, practical on-farm cultural immersion like Sue did in agriculture production.
If you look at history and if you look at any of the arts, women were incredible hunter-gatherer assistants. They were agricultural thousands of years ago. If there was anything that was genetic, it was that women were acquiring water, tending crops. You look at Native American mythology, it's very, very pronounced that women were busy watching the crops and having the children be around, but working on a lot of that while the men were at the periphery of camps or settlements. And so, I don't want to say, yes, we're wired for this, but there is a history out there beyond people sailing across the sea, coming to this continent and starting to grab land and grow stuff on it. I think that there's something very sensible about environmental awareness, and the more chemistry and the more soil science and the more you take, you go, I have an issue with that. As you see things that you don't agree with, or you wonder, is there more to organic farming than Rodale's magazines? Why do all the guys walk around and spit and whittle and jump on the tractors? I felt like I'd turned a corner in Montana when I went out one spring to talk with folks in western Montana about hiring me to help with calving or lambing or doing some other things. And these folks said, several of the ranchers said to me, I'm really glad to talk to a woman. Hmm. I always hire women because they're more concentrated toward what's happening and doing a good job instead of having somebody watch them and get into town to hide out in a bar. So that was a real, I thought, well, great. So they're not freaking out that a woman came to their door.
If you've just joined me, we're talking about women as farmers. And I'm speaking with farmer Sue Raker. She owns and operates Cloverland Apiary and Farm on Michigan's Keweenaw Peninsula. And she's joined by Wynn Wright, who's a professor in community sustainability and sociology at Michigan State University. I'll get the thoughts of both of you. Does farming in 2014 call for a different skill set than, say, 50 years ago? And are these skills a woman might excel in?
I would say both yes and no. My knowledge about mechanics, welding, electricity is not great, but it's good. It's good enough. But on the other hand, the cost of combines, a lot of machinery that's required, in particularly in places, I would say, where it could be afforded with a longer season. We have about a reliable 90-day frost-free season up here. On the other hand, listening to my uncles, listening to my cousin, Karen Raker, who farms right along the Ohio River Valley, I would say, there are certain things that are just givens, and you find yourself reading every moment, every evening, every time you get a chance, you're going to be reading agriculture stuff. That just happens, and it's a plus, and you should do it. But as far as what's happening with getting up early, doing things, and when your friends say, well, meet us in town for lunch, we want to hear about, and you go, no, I can't.
What's that?
Well, why is that, Sue? Because we are combining oats. Can't you do it next Tuesday? No. The answer is no, I can't. Agriculture comes first. But if you are focused on agriculture and you realize what a unique career it is, and if you can be the person that's so happy that day in the fall that's cold when you start in the morning and you go sit on your south-facing steps in the evening, and crunch on an apple and just let yourself sigh and relax. If that feels good to you, then it's going to pay off. If I used to tell friends that would say something, and I still tell young women that I meet, if you can dream it, you can make it happen. I mean, I never thought I would be able to score high on a certified organic farm. I never thought I would be working on a project with bees and localizing bees that were brought over from Russia, from the area around Lake Baikal, and have been established in the United States. There just are incredible opportunities, and lots of young women now, as Wynn pointed out, have the education and the vision. Farming is not something you get stuck doing. It's something that's an incredible opportunity.
When this, it strikes me that as you see young students coming in to your classes at Michigan State University, do these young women have that perspective and that total commitment to what it will take to make a farm successful?
Well, as I said, one of the things that they don't have any experience in, it's incredibly value, as Sue knows, is the cultural immersion in the lifestyle of farming. And they're in for a few surprises once they leave and try to roll up their sleeves and make some of the theory that they've learned in the classroom apply in a practical setting. So I'm not, I don't want to judge them as individuals, but I have heard story after story that they find that sort of sacrifice very difficult. And it is a sacrifice for a lot of young people and older people, for everyone in agriculture. I did want to just mention a bit to touch on the points that Sue was making about how men and women might farm differently. I think there's some really interesting things that are going on. I can't agree more with what she said, but to some degree, the ways in which men and women are similar or different has to do with the type of farming they're engaged in. There are some demands that consumers are increasingly making on the food system for healthy, local, ecologically responsible foods, what we might put under the umbrella of a sustainable agriculture, that does lend itself very well to skills that women have been given the opportunity to cultivate. And I don't want to suggest that they're inherent or essential part of being a female, but in many cases, many women who are farmers now have spent much of their career in other careers, and they're coming back to agriculture in their 50s as a sort of second chapter, second career. Or perhaps their spouse has died and they've inherited the land, and now they're the sole decision maker for the land, so they've turned to farming. These skills that they've developed in the public sector are allowing them in ways that men aren't so great at developing new markets, at being personable and friendly at the local farmer's market, for example, for being able to strike up a conversation, to sell and market their products, to brand and put an image on the value-added products that they have created on the farm. So in some ways, the new demands that consumers are expecting of agriculture align to some degree much better with women's skill set than men's, because it requires a much more social component rather than simply a technical set of skills.
Good point.
I'm wondering, do we have any sense as far as how many women are farming in Michigan? I did see one statistic that said about 27% of America's 3 million farmers are women. They're either running farms alone or they're working with husbands or others. Do we have any sense of what that figure might be for Michigan?
There are about 56,000 farmers in Michigan as of the last census, which was in 2007. Mm-hmm. So we're due for new data actually any day now. So of those 56,000 farmers, 8,200, or around 15%, are female.
Okay.
So now those are people who are solely responsible for decision making. Mm-hmm. There might be others, of course, involved in agriculture that are also working with a husband, a brother, as a partner of some sort, and share decision-making responsibility. The interesting difference, however, is two-thirds of these Michigan farm women operate farms under 50 acres. It doesn't take a lot of space to create a vegetable CSA or produce vegetables for a farmer's market, right? Yeah. But, of course, you're not going to make very much money if you're relying on 50 acres and you're planting that in conventional corn or soybeans.
No.
It strikes me, Wynn, that for these young women who are coming into agriculture classes at Michigan State and elsewhere, it's one of the few opportunities where, honestly, women will get paid the same amount as a man. That can't be said for many other occupations.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. In theory, perhaps, but most Michigan farm women earn less than $10,000 a year in annual farm sales. 5% of women operators had annual agricultural sales of over 100,000. Now, that's agriculture sales. That doesn't mean that they're pocketing that. Typically, the rule of thumb is maybe they'll see a third of the sales that will go into their pocket, as far as farm income. Because women are farming differently, they're positioning themselves to earn different amounts of money. And they're also still impeded through cultural practices of land transfer, land mm-hmm. inheritance practices that often favor men and certainly have historically. Getting access to land is the big hurdle, particularly mm-hmm. for young people, men or women, who don't come from a farm background.
That's
so increasingly, with the value of conventional commodities being quite robust in the past few years, land rental prices have skyrocketed. That means there's fierce competition, and those established farmers in the community or have, you know, sort of aggressive tactics for making sure they control that land or get access to it and keep access to it. This is not a way for a young beginning farmer to break into farming, which is one of the interesting things, again, that set women apart a little bit. They're much more likely to want to engage in a more cooperative or communal type of experience.
Yeah.
And Sue talked about this a lot. She used the word fun and enjoyment and satisfaction when she was just telling some of her experiences. And that's another thing that sets some of these young farmers apart, and not just women, but you see this time and time again, a desire not just for a business, but to think about an integrated life that
right.
marries a productive life that can create income, but also one that can be lived in harmony, perhaps with one's values about nature, animal welfare, and family and community, this sort of reintegration of the household, the farm, and the community as a robust, dynamic place.
Well, a fascinating conversation with both of you, and we've really enjoyed it. And I have to say, we all want to be sitting on that step in the fall afternoon eating an apple with you, Sue Raker, owner and operator of Cloverland Apiary and Farm in Calumet on Michigan's Keweenaw Peninsula. And Sue is joined by Wynn Wright, who's a professor in Community Sustainability and Sociology at Michigan State University. Pleasure to talk with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
a lot.
Good luck to the women out there. Thank you, Wynn.
You too, Sue. Good to talk.
And after we got off the phone with Sue and Wynn, we got the latest census numbers just out, and they found that the number of women farmers in the U.S. held steady from 2007 to 2012. There are now 7,409 primary female farm operators in Michigan.